Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Al Mashriq program on Radio Islam. My name is Ibrahim Daya, standing in for Maulana Junaid Jassat today, inshallah. What we have coming up in the program today are very exciting, inshallah. We'll be speaking to first Maulana Abdurrahman Layli. He'll be giving us a bit of feedback and the purpose of the workshops that are taking place in Durban at this moment. Brother Idris Khamisa and him are organizing workshops with Dr. Muhammad Bashir, who is a specialist in parenting. He's the author of the book Parenting in the West. And he's here in South Africa. He'll be doing a few workshops in KZN and in other regions as well. So we will be speaking to them. And inshallah, Dr. Muhammad Bashir will also be joining us later on the program, speaking about the book and the workshops that will be taking place. But first, we do have Maulana Abdurrahman Layli with us on air. Assalamu alaikum. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan for giving this opportunity to myself, Brother Idris, who's your chief guest today, and undoubtedly our international guest, Dr. Muhammad Ridha Bashir, the author of not one book but many books on conflict between couples, on issues of parenting, on issues of raising teenagers, particularly in a Western environment, and that's where he hails from Canada. He spent his lifetime, alhamdulillah, establishing the MSA, ISNA, the Islamic Society of North America, Islamic Council of North America. We're fortunate to have him in South Africa on his second visit. Someone who speaks to crowds of 30,000 at times at some of the conferences that he speaks about. Someone, subhanAllah, who spent his life, first some of his studies being done in engineering, and then thereafter moving into social engineering about, you know, couples and families. And as I introduced him this morning, saying that this is someone who was from the pioneers who went to the West, who went to America as young students to further their studies in North America some 30, 40 years ago, and then had to grapple with the issues of people trying to establish themselves in those particular societies. Now in the ripe old age of 60s and 70s, they're still traveling the world and giving us nasiha and advice, counseling and directive guidelines based on the Quran and the Sunnah. Every one of the points that you would see come up on a PowerPoint slide or a discussion point based on some ayah of Quran or some hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're very fortunate, alhamdulillah, to have them in our midst here in South Africa. This morning's workshop, being a workshop under the auspices of Islamic Care Line, will be continuing for at least, inshallah, another hour. And I think they've got a whole array of programs planned out for KZN for later in the week, as well as some for this weekend back in Gauteng.
Inshallah. Mara, just telling us about, you spoke about Dr. Muhammad Bashir and also Brother Idris Khamisa arranging these workshops. What was maybe the purpose behind it?
Well, the purpose behind these workshops is naturally these are issues that we grapple with in society all the time, and sometimes, alhamdulillah, even with the vast plethora of ulama and scholars that we have, we sometimes don't have in one brain box. You have someone who studied psychology, someone who studied child psychology, someone who studied education, as well as there's a firm grounding in the principles of the Sharia in aspects of Quran and Ahadith. And here, alhamdulillah, we have a scholar of that caliber in our midst. So this being the time when many of our families, many of the mothers and fathers, both hands-on parents, would get the opportunity of engaging more with their children. This being the opportunity, you know, coming up into this holiday period, has been deemed as perhaps a time that would be more appropriate to have a type of workshop. One of the points Brother Idris mentioned this morning is that after attending any symposium, any seminar, any conference, if one doesn't instill some sort of change in the first 48 hours, you know, the track record proves that it's highly unlikely that any change will ever come. So, subhanAllah, this being right at the brink of the onset of the summer vacation here in Southern Africa, in South Africa, in terms of our schooling system, this being the timing chosen for a particular workshop and also based on the availability of our guests.
Yes, sir, we are on the brink of the holidays, so definitely something that we can implement and bring immediately into our lives with the holidays coming up, spending more time with our children, etc. And Amar, we know that I've seen some of his works, and I see that he, the book that, or the one especially on parenting, where he says parenting in the West, but this book could be used by anyone now, because today we find that with the world becoming a sort of global village, and it becomes difficult in whichever, even if you are maybe in an Islamic society, it becomes challenging for parents.
Yes, undoubtedly, because of the challenges of globalization, the challenges of capitalism, the challenges of being in a consumerist economy, etc., in a consumerist environment, these are aspects learned from the West, where perhaps they experienced these type of challenges earlier than us. So, you know, they would have had to grapple with them first. So we can benefit from their experience in almost any part of the world, because we know the world, whether it be a Muslim majority country or whether it be here in the southern tip of Africa, issues of globalization, capitalism, consumerism, individualism have touched and have had an impact on almost any society. So alhamdulillah, though the book is authored in that particular and set in that particular context of, you know, parenting in the West, it's still equally applicable and most probably even more applicable to us in terms of the challenges that we're facing currently in South Africa.
Yes, and Mo'ad, just to give us a bit of an update with regards to these workshops, for how long period will Dr. Muhammad be with us, and where will these workshops be taking place?
So there's an extensive plan being run through the Muslim media outlet in KZN, Radio Al Ansar, and alhamdulillah, they'll be hosting programs throughout the latter portion, I think, of this evening and a lot of tomorrow. I think there's some plans for one or two programs this weekend back here in Gauteng, one of them being in Lojem. Inshallah, Brother Ibris will be able to give proper details of the rest of the itinerary of Dr. Muhammad Rida. For me, subhanAllah, as a young person, truly inspirational to be in the presence of Dr. Muhammad Rida. In the introduction to him this morning, I mentioned that many a times when we as young students of knowledge have to facilitate for other youth, whether it be at camps, you know, whether it be at seminars, conferences, presentations, we always revert to the books of Dr. Muhammad Rida, because, you know, he has it all tabled out, how to deal with teenagers, you know, what are the issues that they are grappling with, what are the proofs and the sources from Quran and Hadith to be able to overcome some of those challenges and the guidelines given to us. So truly, this was an opportunity for me personally to connect with a teacher who had been a teacher through his work.
Yes, Ma, definitely. And also we find that with this also, it's not only for the parents, but maybe teachers as well can benefit from these workshops with dealing with the students, whether it be in the Maktab Madrasa, whether it be in the schools, wherever. It would also be beneficial for them as well.
Undoubtedly, I do concur with that. Naturally, we know that in this age of outsourcing, the whole idea of parenting, etc., has kind of been delegated to the educators, to the facilitators, you know, those who stand in front of the classroom, quote unquote. So subhanAllah, it would have that benefit. And, you know, over and above just parents and teachers or educators, facilitators, these type of workshops actually would bear the most benefit for aspiring and prospective parents. The Sharia teaches us that we need to acquire knowledge of anything before we become engrossed in it. Before one indulges in trade, one needs to know certain of the masail with regards to buyu and transactions. And similarly here, subhanAllah, we find ourselves where as Muslims, many a times we want to learn about a particular aspect of our Islam once we are already engrossed in it. You know, when we speak about nikah, or when someone enters into nikah, then one of the gifts we would normally buy is, you know, the righteous bride or the righteous groom. But it's a bit late for that. That's actually the time when you should be giving a gift with regards to proper upbringing of children. So my advice would be that for even aspiring and prospective parents, undoubtedly, this is a workshop you should attend, because it teaches you about the preamble to actually bringing that worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the world, and how some of the preliminary things and the guidelines on the Sharia need to be instituted.
Yes, so that is the workshops that will be taking place, a perfect way to spend your time in the holidays, spend it in a good way and in a productive manner by attending these workshops and becoming better teachers, better parents as well. Jazakumullah khairan, Mo'ad, for joining us and giving us this report on these workshops. And inshallah, we'll hope to have you soon again.
Inshallah, I'm now going to hand over to Dr. Muhammad Rida, who's available. He's now stepped off the podium, and inshallah, you can engage Dr. Muhammad Rida with regards to his work, both those that is formally authored as well as the presentation that he does throughout the globe.
Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Muhammad Rida Bashir. Jazakumullah for joining us on the program. We're very honored to have you on Radio Islam. Knowing about the work that you have done, it's a great pleasure to have you on.
Jazakallah khairan. May Allah bless you and accept from everyone, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen. I'm very pleased to see the effort that have been doing in Radio Islam May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it fruitful and accept from everyone, inshallah.
Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. Dr. Muhammad, Abdurrahman Layli had pointed out earlier that you've moved to North America, you've been there before about 30 years or so. So when was it when you decided to get into this work with bringing this Islamic society in the North America and also writing these books to benefit the people?
Yes, it was, there is a nice story behind this. When we moved to Canada, we didn't have any children, and we were engaged in building the first mosque in the city, and at one of the social gatherings in the house of one of the brothers, we met all the families with their children. And it was a shock for us to see how the children are behaving with their parents. Yes. And we, myself and my wife, was really worried to see if we stay in this place, our children are going to be like this. There must be something that we can do. So we started reading intensively about the subject from an Islamic perspective in Quran and Sunnah, and we started checking with some scholars like Dr. Jamal Badawi, may Allah bless him, and late Dr. Ahmad Al-Qadi, who have good experience with their families, you know. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, I think we decided to go about it the right way, and we did lots of research, and I think alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we did a good job to the extent that we were taking our children to all the conferences and the conventions in North America. We'll drive maybe 20 hours, 30 hours to reach the city, but they really cherish these memories. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, when they meet other Muslim parents there, the Muslim parents come and tell us, what did you do? Please tell us what we can do. MashaAllah, they are such good children. So when this happened, we started thinking maybe it is our duty that we should share our experience with the Muslim community. And one incident took place in the graduation ceremony of one of our daughters that made us really take this thing seriously. She was called to the stage more than 6-7 times, top academic achiever, top this, top that, and the vice principal during the refreshment time came to us and she asked my wife, Ikram, tell me, what's your secret? And she said, we're just lucky, you know. Ikram is a very humble person, so she said, we're just lucky. And she told her, no, you could be lucky with one child, two children, but four of them, you must have done something right. And I advise you to share it with your community, because that specific school had many Muslim children going to. And when she said this, we said, maybe this is a signal from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to really take it seriously. And so we started writing the books and doing these seminars and things like this.
SubhanAllah. Well, I accept. And I see in the book that you write that parenting in the West. So if we had to single out or maybe just discuss what is it maybe the most challenging thing about parenting in Western societies or like a place like North America or even here in South Africa?
Yeah, it became the same everywhere. The globe is a small village now.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
Particularly with the communication tools now that we have, the internet and so on and so forth, the same thing is happening almost everywhere. And I think some of the challenges that are facing parents is first the environment we are living in. And the Prophet ﷺ alluded to this in many of his hadith, that environment is very serious and should be taken seriously. And if we don't provide the right environment for our children, they could really pick up the bad habits, and it will be difficult to correct it later. And in one hadith, he said that كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدْ عَلْ شِكْرَةٍ, every newborn baby is born in a state of pure fitra, nature, and it is his parent, the first set of environment can change, etc. So the environment is very, very serious. So that's why we have to provide the right environment for our children in terms of building Islamic schools, in terms of having activities for the youth, and so on and so forth. So that's one of the challenges. The other challenge that we see through our counseling sessions is the willingness of the parents themselves to change, to do the right thing. You can learn as many principles of parenting as you want, but if you are not willing to change yourself and get rid of the business habit you have to follow the proper thing, you are not going to benefit. And it was said, learn as much as you can, but be sure you'll only be rewarded when you put what you learn into practice.
Yes.
So many parents are just repeating certain patterns were used with them when they were young in a completely different environment at a completely different time. And that is not working. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, رَبِّ أَوْلَادَكُمْ عَلَى غَيْرِ مَا تَلَبَّيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُمْ خُلُقُ لِزَمَانٍ غَيْرِ زَمَانِكُمْ. Raise up your children using means that may be different from the ones that were used with you, because they were created for different times, for different challenges. So imagine Ali ibn Abi Talib saying this 14 centuries ago. How about now? Now even more, and particularly are also in different environments. So it is very important that parents should go through a self-leadership process and try their best to change, find out what are the shortcomings, try to get rid of them, and replace them with the proper parenting principles. And in our workshops, we devote one whole session to this self-search process. What kind of question you should ask yourself? How do you find the source of negative parental behavior you have? How can you replace them with positive ones? And so on and so forth. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, many of the participants of these workshops, they tell us, yes, it works. It helped us to be closer to our children and helped us to deal with them in the proper way. So that's one of the very, very big challenges that parents are facing nowadays.
Yes, definitely. And a very good point that the doctor makes is that we need to change ourselves as parents.
Exactly.
We need to first be the change so that we can show off onto our children. If we're just preaching and not practicing, then it will have very little effect. And Dr. Muhammad, also with regards to this book, Parenting in the West, maybe you can give us a bit of insight as to what topics are maybe covered in this book?
This is, by the way, not the only book that we have on the subject, but this is the first book. We have also Muslim Teens, Today's Worry, Tomorrow's Hope, which focus on the teenage stage and how to, what the changes that take place, and what kind of knowledge parents should equip themselves with so they can deal with this age group properly. They have parenting skills according to Quran and Sunnah, and have other books also. With respect to parenting in the West particularly, it has around, I think, six chapters, and the first of them is the objectives of parenting. What should be the objective of parenting our children? And we'll go in detail about the objectives of tarbiyah and how we can instill these things in our children. The second is basic principles of parenting with sources from Quran and Sunnah. And that covers many of the parenting principles, such as linking our children to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the most important principle for us Muslims. Because if your child is doing the right thing because he's scared from you, as soon as he turns your back, he's going to do the wrong thing. But yes, if he's doing the right thing because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him all the time, he will always try to do the right thing, whether you are around or not. And this is the highest degree of success any parent can have, is to feel that his son or his daughter will be doing the right thing no matter whether he's around or not. So other principles that's covered in this chapter is like emphasizing the positive action. And every one of these principles are documented with the evidence from verses of Quran or Hadith of the Prophet that this is considered a parenting principle, you know. Other thing is to provide suitable and better alternatives when you want to prevent them from doing certain things, is to share with them their emotions and be closer to them, is to do, when you want to correct something, you have to do it in a gradual step-by-step basis, and so on and so forth. So there is, in the three books, Parenting Skills and Parenting in the West and Muslim Teens, Today's War, Tomorrow's World, we collected 50 of these parenting principles and documented each one of them with verses from Quran supporting that they should be parent principle, or a hadith from the hadith of the Prophet, or an event from the events of the Seerah. And we augmented this with practical example on how can you use each principle with a young child and with a teenager. The third chapter is about environment and the effect of environment and what can we do to neutralize it for our children. The fourth chapter is about ways of tarbiyah, and the most important of them is al-qudwa, is to provide the role model, and then tarbiyah using the storytelling, tarbiyah exerting the effort, activities, and so on and so forth. Eight ways of tarbiyah. Then the fifth and the sixth chapter is about typical case studies, that's the problems that happen in every family, and how can you resolve them. The seventh chapter is just some extra experiences from our children themselves when we parented them, and how they acted to what we did with them, you know. Then finally, some in the eighth chapter, some tips, extra tips to complement what was in the book. So these are the components for the chapter in parenting those.
Yes, and Dr. Muhammad, just coming into this period here in South Africa, they must have told you and informed you that we are coming into the holiday period where the children are at home now.
I can't hear you, Akhi. I can't hear you. Can you speak a little bit louder?
Yes, I say coming into this period now where we are in the holiday period, many children will be now at home, away from school, away from madrasa. So in this time, from your experiences that you have, and maybe you can share with us how important it is for the parents now to spend time with their children so that this tarbiyah can be made, so that this link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be established.
Yeah, that's you are right. That's very, very important for parents to spend time with their children. Building a strong emotional bond between yourself and the child is the bridge that will help you to instill, to reach to his psyche and instill the proper values and principles in their emotions, in their hearts, in their minds. So it is very, very important that we work very, very hard to build this emotional bond. And actually, that's exactly what the Prophet did. He had a very strong emotional bond between himself and between all his Sahaba, particularly the young persons of them, you know. And that's why they were willing to listen to his commands and to obey him and do whatever he would request them to do. So this strong relationship is very, very important. Doing things together is very, very important. Having your meals together, going out for trips together, that's very, very important for parents to do, so they can reach the heart of the child and they can instill in him the proper values and ethics and principles.
Okay, just to the listeners, you can interact with us. The WhatsApp number in studio is 072-786-1548. If you have any questions or if you'd like some advice with regards to parenting, we do have Dr. Muhammad Bashir with us, and also Uncle Idris will be joining us. Also, the studio number is 011-854-1548. We're going to go for a short break. Inshallah, when we come back, we'll continue speaking to Dr. Muhammad Bashir and also to Brother Idris Khamisa. Welcome back to the program. This is the Al-Mashriq program on Radio Islam. We were speaking to Dr. Muhammad Riza Bashir, who is a specialist in parenting and also author of many books on parenting in the West, and he had mentioned Muslim teens, etc. And he is currently in South Africa together with Uncle Idris Khamisa. They are doing workshops around the country. There will be a few workshops taking place in KZN in the coming days, and also by the weekend there will be some workshops taking place in the Gauteng area as well. As we continue speaking to Dr. Muhammad Bashir, and welcome back to the program, Dr. Muhammad.
thank you.
Yes, so we've seen that on the line of parenting as well, you've done a bit of work, but together with that, you've written books as well on marriage. And so these workshops that you'll be doing in South Africa, will they be solely focused on parenting, or is it also, will there be a bit of marriage advice in some of these workshops?
Yes, both on marriage and parenting. As a matter of fact, this morning we're talking about how to attain paradise in our homes, and by looking at the two most important family relationships we have, which is the spousal relation as well as the parent and children relation. And we explain that if we can carry out ourselves and run these, manage these relations based on the Quranic guidance and the prophetic guidance, we can really achieve paradise in our home. So it is a mix of both spousal relation as well as parenting. So we will have like in Pretoria tomorrow on Saturday, sure, a workshop on post parenting according to Quran and Sunnah, in Johannesburg again in this center. And on Sunday we will have another workshop on how to attain paradise in our homes, and this will be a mix of marital relation as well as parenting.
Yes, Dr. Muhammad, we've seen that some of the books that have been written by you with regards to marriage, just to mention one or two of them, like Blissful Marriage, sort yes. of these books that you've written, and you've written this also after living in North America and seeing that Western society. So what would you find is maybe a great difference between our marriages and the marriage of the West, maybe?
Well, I think many Muslims are affected by the Western culture, and it's quite unfortunate that the rate of divorce among Muslims living in Western society is getting higher and higher at an alarming rate now, because they are affected by the environment. And unless we really look at marriage for what it is from an Islamic perspective, is a very serious business. Mithaq ghaliz, as the Quran explained it, is one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So unless we really get back to these basic principles of marriage and understand it properly, we will continue to have these conflicts and problems, and will continue to be affected by the Western society, and lots of marriages will be broken among Muslims also, which is quite unfortunate. You know.
Yes, and we find that it is becoming more common, where we want to sort of, sometimes we feel that we want to follow the Western culture and not really the Islamic culture. Dr. Muhammad, after writing these books and also as you studied this year, what would you say would be the quality that we need maybe to bring ourselves back towards following the Muslim tradition and the Islamic tradition when it comes to our marriages and living our lives?
Yeah, let me say first that one of the main reasons that we wrote our book, Blissful Marriage, is that we found out that parents are not doing a good job with their children because they themselves have problems with each other. So we wrote it with this in mind, that how can you provide a good family atmosphere through a wonderful husband-wife relationship, so you can have the ability to parent your children properly. Because one of the main and crucial factors that affect the formation of the personality of the children is the family atmosphere. And family atmosphere always leaves a mark on the personality of the children. And who is responsible for this family atmosphere? It is both parents, husband and wife. So if husband and wife are having problems with each other, it is very difficult to provide this positive and healthy family atmosphere for parenting our children properly. So this was in mind all the time we're writing this Blissful Marriage. Now you are asking about what are the things that we should be having to return back to the Islamic model of marriage. And I was just speaking about this in the lecture, you know. And one of the most important things is to have the proper understanding of the objectives of marriage, have the proper understanding of the nature of marriage as a sacred institute, have the proper understanding of the gender relation in Islam, have the proper understanding of spousal relation in Islam, and learn the spousal obligations as well as the rule of communication that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and utilize it in our marriages. Of course, each one of these components requires quite a bit of time to describe in detail, but these are the basics, and if we really understand this properly, we will be able to nurture the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to every married couple as their wedding rite, which is mawaddah and rahmah. Mawaddah is a comprehensive kind of love that brings the best out of the couple, and rahmah is the kindness in treating with each other.
Yes, Dr. Muhammad, can you ask?
Hold on for a second, brother.
Yes. That is Dr. Muhammad Bashir speaking to us.
Yes, go ahead.
Jay, can you hear us? Is the line clear?
I can hear you.
Yes. You spoke there about in the beginning there when you spoke about this. You spoke maybe about the objectives of marriage. You just touched, maybe you can touch on it in a bit of a detail as to what the objectives of marriage is, and people looking to get married, or even people who are married, just to remind themselves on that.
Yeah. Scholars have so many things written about objectives of marriage, but the two most important objectives of marriage that I can think of, and I feel that if we understand them properly, it will reflect positively in our relationship, is this. First is to achieve the repose and tranquility and peace within the relationship at all levels, at the emotional level, at the physical level, at the spiritual level, at the psychological level, at all levels. So achieving this second, that verse number 21 in Surah Ar-Rum is talking to us about, is one of the most important objectives of marriage, to have this peace and tranquility in the relationship. The second is to help each other to be stronger in faith, to be stronger believers, to help each other to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are so many beautiful examples in the life of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum about this, how they helped each other to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just give one example about a Sahabi whose name is Abu Dahdah. But this is a bit long, I don't know whether you want me to...
No, it's fine, you can carry on.
I can carry on? Okay.
Yes.
This Sahabi, he, when verse number 245 from Surah Al-Baqarah was revealed, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة والله يقبض ويبسط وإليه ترجعون. Whoever loans Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a goodly loan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it for him manifold. When this verse was revealed, Abu Dahdah did not understand how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of all wants and he's asking us to loan him a goodly loan. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him about the meaning of the verse. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you an opportunity to do something, and when you do it, he will bless you with Jannah, he will admit you to Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful, and he gives us so many opportunities, like the month of Ramadan, if we fast iman and wahtisaban, we are going to be rewarded with forgiving all our sins, and so on and so forth. So he told him, and Abu Dahdah was very pleased with the concept, and right away he wanted to apply, and he wanted to give something in charity as a good loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have two gardens, one in the upper part of Medina, one in the lower part of Medina. Be my witness, I'm giving these two gardens as a good reward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guarantee a place for myself and my family in Jannah. And the Prophet told him or advised him that, okay, give one and keep one for yourself and your family. And Huddahdah accepted the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave the bigger one, the better one, the one that has more produce and more fruit and so on. And he said, this is a donation from me, this is a good reward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so who will accept my deeds, put me and my children and my family in Jannah. And the Prophet accepted his donation and they made dua for him. Now look at the way Abu Dahdah is relaying the news to his wife, Umm Dahdah. He went to that garden that he had donated and he told her in poetry, not just words, you know, just in poetry, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me the right guidance and I willingly donated this garden to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in charity, so he would guarantee a place for myself, for you guys, my kids and my wife in Jannah inshallah Rabbil Alameen. So that was how Abu Dahdah laid the news to his wife. Now Dahdah, which is very important, how she received the news, she also responded to in poetry also. And this is beautiful if I say it in Arabic, but I don't think our audience understand Arabic, so let me just say that just in English. She said, this is a great news, Abu Dahdah, that you are telling me. You just did this for our sake to enter paradise. We enjoyed ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with these bounties for years and years, and we ate from the fruits of this garden, and you, alhamdulillah, gave it in charity, and we support you in what you did. This is the best thing you can do for us. So you see how the wife and the husband, they work together to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to apply the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think when we do this nowadays, there are so many other ways that we can boost this. For example, the husband should take care of the kids for a couple of nights every week and allow the wife to go and attend the lesson in the masjid to learn more about her deen, or attend the sister's halaqah to understand more about her deen. The wife should also be patient with the husband if he volunteers to do some Islamic work for the sake of the community, and she will support him, and then because this, she is going to get reward for doing this. So this is how both of them can help each other to be stronger in faith. They should read Quran together, they should prepare and plan activities together that will help the family and the community, and so on and so forth. And that helps tremendously people to have stronger faith and to be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to fulfill this very important objective of marriage. You know, when we have these objectives of marriage in our mind, inshallah Rabbil Alameen, that will help in having healthy and positive relationship between us as husband and wife.
Yes, Jazakumullah khairan, Dr. Muhammad, for that lovely advice. And Jazakumullah khairan, we've come to the end of the program. Jazakumullah khairan for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your efforts and the workshops that you are hosting here in South Africa, and also accept Uncle Idris Khamisa for granting us this opportunity to host you, and also for organizing these workshops here in South Africa.
Yes, Jazakumullah khairan, may Allah bless you all, and make all the good deeds you are doing and through the Radio Islam weigh heavily on the scale of your good deeds in the judgment, inshallah, Rabbil Alameen, and accept from every one of us, and purify our intentions so it will be accepted, inshallah, Rabbil
Alameen. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. With that, we come to the end of the program today, the Mashriq program. We had Dr. Muhammad Bashir. He's a specialist in parenting, author of many books on this field of parenting, such as Parenting in the West, and also Muslim Teens, and also his other books with regards to marriage as well. He'll be hosting a few workshops here in South Africa. So the opportunity that Uncle Idris had given us to have him on the show and speak to him about some of the projects that he's doing and some of the advices that he could share with us. So that brings us to the end of the program. Also, just a reminder that our drive that we are having, How I Save Water, it's still continuing. You can tweet us with the hashtag How I Save Water, and also if you're not into Twitter, then you can email us at challenge@radioislamlive.com. This will be running for the entire day. So share with us your tips. It will be retweeted. We'll read it out on air. Create a bit of vibe so we can help to save the water. It's not that because now it's rained a bit and now we say that we can go back to our old ways, but rather let us continue saving water. With that, we come to the end of the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.